Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The internet is a major platform for TV news these days, and that's underlined by the latest revamp at TV3, where the news division now gets its own website at 3news.co.nz. Mark Jennings, 3's head of news, joins us now to explain what he's up to. Well, Mark, what's behind the revamp, and also the separation from the main TV3 site?
Well, we think news is driving our web presence, basically. It's the advance guard. And the revamp, well, we thought we had a cluttered and not very functional site. It had grown sort of organically, and we felt it was time to take a good new look at it. And we've got an owner, Ironbridge, who is very keen in driving forward our online strategy. So they were the major factors behind it. And to be honest, we're also keen to try and make ground on Stuff and NZ Herald.
Yeah, and the old site, as you said, was cluttered. Also very slow to load. I don't know if you're aware of a certain web survey that was done on the loading times of local websites, and yours was long.
Yes, and a huge frustration for people like myself sitting in the building and waiting forever. And, you know, Siobhan McKenna, our head of new media, has taken a huge amount of stick over this. I think the company spent roughly $250,000 improving the architecture or the infrastructure, if you like. So we've got our fingers crossed.
One of the big issues often when traditional media move into, you know, into new media is that they go, we're going to do it, we're going to make it bigger, better, faster, stronger, longer. But they don't sort of often resource it, or they rely on their traditional staffing to kind of just pick up a bit of extra work. I mean, has it been well resourced, and are the staff happy enough with it?
Yes, I think that is the key issue. And along with the infrastructure investment, we are investing in people. We call our news online editors Knowles, and we have a whole group of those. But we've recently added CHOLs, which are channel online editors. And we've got basically trying to look at the niches, business, sport, politics, entertainment, and health and lifestyle. So they've now got their own experts, if you like, working for them.
Are they relying on your reporters out in the field to get the stories, though? I mean, that's often the bit that gets missed out. The reporters say, you know, they get a call from the web editor saying, can you just give us a bit more information, or can you go and do a bit more work, or are you looking at possibly having online-only reporters?
Yes. I think it's a bit of everything. I think sometimes they will be hassling the reporters in the field because it's not instinctive yet for a lot of our reporters to be thinking about the web. The second thing is they will be originating material themselves. And the third thing is we're looking at buying in a bit more, so they will process that as well. So sort of a three-part strategy. But I agree with you, this idea of trying to stretch the existing resource is probably flawed to some degree. I think you can get a bit more out of it, but you can't get a huge amount more. So, yep, you've got to add extra resource. And you've got to be up for the investment or you can't do it.
I know one of the big questions that the likes of the Herald have had recently, as their online's expanded and is now basically equal with their newspaper audience, is that when they've got a big break, do you put it on the website? Do you hold it for the 6 o'clock news? I mean, now you're a TV man, so what's your call on that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've never had any issue with this from day one. We put it straight online, but basically, I've found that through monitoring this, every time we do it, we do not lose any audience at 6 o'clock. In fact, we seem to increase them. And I think you can win a story, you've got to win it online, and you've got to win it on air. And I think if you're seen to be leading the way on a story, you actually increase your audience. I'm a big fan of putting it straight on. And basically, that's the rule in our place. It
and
goes straight
you,
on.
You actually demonstrated that last October with the terror raids video, that scoop video you got. You put that straight up. And I do think that gave you the lead for that day.
Yes, Russell, totally agree. It did give us the lead. We had huge ratings that night. I just see them as totally complementary. I don't see it as detracting from your on-air product. My view is contrasted, though, with, say, Peter Meakin, who's the boss of Seven Network in Australia, news department, a guy I used to work for. I respect him a lot. Seven's the leading on-air product, and he completely disagrees with me. He holds it back. He says, bugger this online business. 6 o'clock is the flagship. We're doing it then. But I disagree with them.
Would there be any exceptions to that? I mean, if you knew, for example, that you had an exclusive, and there's a risk that if you put it on at midday, that it's going to run on six on Channel 1's news as much as it's going to run on Channel 3's news. If you had an exclusive, would you hold it back?
I think you would look at it and see how easy it was for the opposition to get into that story. I think, though, where with a lot of stories, when they are breaking, you're not going to be hold. You can't. They are going to get in on it sometime during the day. So you're best to just go with it and try and maximise your advantage. Hopefully, if the reporter is on a big scoop, you know, the amount of work that's gone into it is your safeguard. It's going to take another organisation a longer time to check out those facts, unless they just lift it and steal it. And the bit of that goes on, we know. But then again, I think you want to be seen as a leader rather than a thief.
Is your vision for the news still coming in the traditional way? I talked to a guy called Crichton Limbert, who's at the BBC last year, and he said it's become incredibly complicated for them because their video comes in from all these different sources. You used to know where it came in. It came in the feed, comes in as files, comes in various states of completion. Have you started to encounter those sorts of issues yet?
Yes, it is. I think it's becoming a complex technically. And again, as well as infrastructure, what becomes a big part then is systems, and you've got to get your systems up. You know, and when you're in what I would call always a adequately or... I was going to use the word lean resourced. We're not leanly resourced, but we're carefully resourced. And it puts pressure on that. It puts pressure on people who are dealing in conventional formats to have systems to deal with different stuff. We find it potentially when we've got reporters overseas, and usually they're FTPing or using an FTP-type device like a BGAN satellite, which we used recently from China. You've got to be very aware of the form that that material is coming in, and the fact that it just goes into a Dropbox sometimes, and you know, somebody doesn't wake up that it's actually in there. It's simple things like that. It is an issue, Russell.
Yeah. What other platforms are you delivering to now? Obviously, there's the TV itself. There's whatever new channels you might do, mm-hmm. and there's the internet. Are you doing mobile as well?
Not really, and I think it's something that is on my mind because you see it starting to move overseas quickly, and I'm not quite sure why it hasn't got going in a bigger way here, to be honest. You know, Vodafone, for instance, offering sort of a limited Sky selection. It just doesn't seem to have fired yet. It hasn't really fired in Australia either, although it's starting to move. And I suspect over the next 12 months it'll be an area that we are really looking at.
Do you know why? It's because it's really expensive to have data charges cost so much.
Charges.
And maybe the iPhone coming in will change all that. Everyone will buy iPhones. Everyone will start saying we want cheaper internet, basically.
In fact, we were having a discussion with an Australian internet expert last night. And they were saying exactly the same thing. As soon as the iPhone gets here, this is going to change.
Now, another thing that you know, broadcasters like the BBC have resources for is they can actually have some of their key people writing for the site. They have correspondents doing blogs and that sort of thing. I know that the TV3 site had the odd blog on it. Have you got plans along those lines for this site?
Yes, I think that's an issue, again, that we all wrestle with. You know, a lot of people in our company would like Duncan Garner to blog.
Hmm. He'd be good.
Controversial.
I was going to say, you also have to keep an eye on him.
Yes. And I think during the election campaign he will. But it's also one of those things where he's a great reporter because a lot of sources trust him. And if he starts spewing stuff out on blogs, that's going to impair that. And, you know, if it shuts down some of his sources, then that's problematic. You know, the world is sort of also changing in that we've traditionally held our newsreaders, let's say a la Mike McRoberts, as a person that's straight down the line, that's not putting opinion into pieces. And, you know, he has blogged when occasionally when he's away, like Pakistan, China, etc. But those blogs have been mainly about day-to-day life, covering the story, and they've been popular and stuff. And we're not asking him really to put his opinions in as to what, say, US foreign policy might be like in or impacting on Pakistan. And I think I'm a bit reluctant in that area. And I think also that, you know, there's a lot of competition out there in this area, you know, yourselves, you know, you're specialists in it. So I think we will do it, but it'll be at a pace which is, you know, a wee bit slower.
I mean, someone like David Farrier, for example, you could imagine, you know, he'd be a great blogger, someone where you're not necessarily saying he is, you know, because he's not straight down the middle, is he, you know, in his reports, or Ali Ikram?
Yes, Ali. You know? Yes, and I think Farrier is a good choice, and if you look at what we're doing with him, it's more and more web-based. For instance, gaming, he's keen on gaming. And, you know, he's off to LA doing some stuff on gaming. I'm not a gamer and I don't understand it, but I know that there's a huge market out there for it. And he wants to do a gaming blog. So, you know, we're encouraging of that, even though I don't really understand it myself.
I suppose you could have film blogs, Kate Roger.
Yeah, Kate Roger. Kate Roger does.
And also, apart from anything else, I noticed you've started to put up full-length versions of the interviews he does for his stories,
yes.
Which is a logical thing to do.
Yes. And we're finding that a lot of people go in and hit those extended interviews. I'm a sports fan, and I would sit down and watch a full All Black press conference, for instance. So I can understand why people will go and watch a full interview with a gaming developer.
And sitting on the front of the TV3 website for many a year now, the extended boobs on bikes coverage seems to be very popular with viewers.
Well, we have this discussion too all the time that anything with boobs on it is hit hugely, and I don't really understand it because I know you can
really
well, you know, you can go to a lot of other places, but I guess it shows up on your list as you know, TV3, it's more acceptable, but yes, yep, anything in that is
I'm sure we could discuss that extensively, but we do have to wrap up now, so well done for getting the site up, Mark, and I hope your video loads smoothly.
So do I, Russell, very much so.
And that address again, of course, is 3news.co.nz. Coming up after the break, we talk Sky Kiwi and Kinkapesi.